This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
حبيبنا وقرة أعيننا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وبعد فهذه ليلة الجمعة ليلة عظيمة مباركة يسن فيها الإكثار من الصلاة على سيدي ومولاي رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه ومن كل عمل صالح. This night of Jumu'ah, it's a blessed night and there's a lot of barakah on this night, and the sunnah is to increase your salah upon the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام and every good deed. يروي الإمام أحمد في مسنده بسند صحيح عن أبي ذر رضي الله عنه قال. The hadith tonight is a long hadith. It's not long as in it take forever, but it has a few sections to it. And it's narrated to us by Imam Ahmad in his Musnad with an authentic narration. Abu Dharr is the Sahabi. The theme is dealing with tribulation or fitna. And this is a very famous hadith. And from this, and these ahadith are, in my opinion, some of the ahadith that have been misunderstood historically and misused by some for, you know, to justify oppression or to justify the lack of the ability to refuse oppression. But really, I think what he taught us, alayhi salatu wasalam, within them is not that at all. It's something very different. And inshallah, it will become clear to you when I explain it. فَقَالَ أَبُو ذَرْ قَالَ كَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَوْمًا يَرْكَبُ حِمَارَهُ فَأَرْدَفَنِي خَلْفَهُ وَقَالَ. That the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, one day was on his donkey. And he saw me, so he called me and he put me behind him on his donkey. So now they're both riding the donkey of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And he would say, Ya Aba Dharr, Ara'ayta in asaba an-nasa ju'un shadidun hatta la tastati'a an taquma min firashika ila masjidika ma tasna'. So he said, Ya Abu Dharr, if the day came where people become really hungry, I mean, everyone around you are living with the Muslims, and people are starving. You're so hungry, people are so hungry that you cannot get out of bed to go to the masjid. You're so hungry, you can't move. What would you do? فَقُلْتُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَعْلَمُ. Abu Dharr obviously has the etiquette and the adab to respond to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam appropriately all throughout this hadith. He'll always say the same thing, that Allah and His Prophet know best, I don't know, you teach me, Ya Rasulullah. Which is what you're supposed to do when a scholar asks you a question, you should always refer to them to teach you instead of offering your brilliant answer, especially as a student. Let them teach so that they can make their point. You'll be in a position where you have to answer questions. But most of the time, if someone who knows more than you is asking you a question, he's more or less he wants you to ask the question so that he can answer it for you. فَقَالَ اللَّهُ قُلْتُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَعْلَمُ فَقَالَ تَعَفَّفْ. Perform iffa. Iffa is mean, don't ask for it, don't beg, don't go around asking for money. Be content with what you have, and just don't add to people's problems. Don't add to the financial stress that people are already in because everyone's hungry, there's no food, and you go around and ask. Ta'affaf, meaning just be happy with what you've got. ثم قال يا أبا ذر أرأيت إن أصاب الناس موت شديد حتى يصير فيه البيت بالعبد ما تصنع. He said, well, what happens, Abu Dharr, if death starts to occur? I mean, there's a huge disease or something. And there's a famine of some sort, and people are dying, and to the point where al-bayt here, it means a qabr. That the value of a grave is equal to the value of a human being. And it's so expensive. What do you do? قُلْتُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَعْلَمُ فَقَالَ تَصْبِرْ. You'll show perseverance and you'll... قال ثم قال يا أبا ذر رأيت إن قتل الناس بعضهم بعضا حتى تغرق حجارة الزيت بالدماء ما تصنع. What if one day, Abu Dharr, in your life people start killing each other, Muslims start killing one another until the rocks of Zayt, it's a place in Mecca, the rocks are stained with blood. What do you do? قلت الله ورسوله أعلم فقال أغلق عليك بابك والزم بيتك. You close your door and you stay in your home. فقلت أرأيت إن لم أترك يا رسول الله. What if, يا رسول الله, they don't leave me alone, like they come to me. قال فأتي من أنت منهم. And go and be with the group that you are a core part of. فقلت أحمل سلاحي معهم. I carry my weapon and fight with them. فقال إذن تشاركهم فيما هم فيه. If you do that, then you are now a part of the problem. Now you are adding to the problem. You are fighting. ولكن اصبر فَإِذَا خِفْتَ أَنْ يَرُوعَكَ شُعَاعُ السَّيْفِ فَأَلْقِ طَرْفَ رِدَائِكَ عَلَى وَجْهِكَ وَلْيَبُؤْ بِإِثْمِكَ وَإِثْمِهِ. He told him, no, if you pick up your sword, now you're with them. You're causing the blood. You're part of the problem. So be patient. And if you fear that you're going to get scared from the shiny swords when they come to you, and you feel like you may change your mind, take your rida and cover your head so you can't see it. And may the person who comes with the safe, the Muslim, the muwahid, who says La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, with his sword on your neck, may he take his ithm and yours. May he carry yawm al-qiyamah, both of your sin on the Day of Judgment. This hadith has always been a central piece of discussion among scholars and controversy because of how people want to understand it. I don't want to get into the political piece of it. I think there's a theme in it that's pretty simple. The Prophet ﷺ is talking about a time where the Muslims aren't doing well anymore. This ummah, the fabric of it, the people that you're living amongst, they're very poor, they're very sick, they're fighting one another. Like all the things that you don't want. What you want in a country is to be wealthy, right? So people aren't poor, healthy, so people aren't sick, and peaceful, so people aren't fighting. Because if you don't have peace, you don't have health, there's no health insurance, there's no wealth, you can't make a living, and you can't be peaceful, then you can't live there anymore. But let's say that happened to the Muslims. What did the Prophet ﷺ tell him to do? Don't add to the problem. What he explained to him all three times, don't add to the problem. If they can't make enough wealth, don't become a financial burden. If there's too much death and there's no health, don't lose your patience and lose your deen and leave. If people are harming one another, don't participate in that harm that is occurring amongst one another. Because your job as a Muslim is to the best of your ability to keep the fabric of this ummah tight. As the forces of this world and the forces of other people are trying to tear it apart, you are trying to keep it together. Even if that means, this is how far he goes, alayhi salatu wasalam. Even if that means you lose your own life in the process of it. Even if that means you give up your life because that's how much he valued, alayhi salatu wasalam, keeping the fabric of this community, of this society, of this ummah, of this nation strong, despite the health challenges, despite the wealth obstacles, despite maybe the lack of tolerance and the blood that's happening amongst them. You never participate in it. You never add to it. It's different. We're not talking about tyrants and what they've done to people. That's a whole different discussion. When there's a tyrant and there's an act of oppression, that's different. But I'm talking amongst Muslims. It blows my mind when I see Muslims in communities tearing the community apart with their choices, with their words, with their thoughts, with their decisions. I don't understand it. It tells me that person doesn't fully comprehend the Prophet ﷺ's priority list that he gave us. That this person does not understand exactly what alayhi salallahu alayhi wa sallam valued. He valued the fabric of our ummah to stay as tight and as strong as possible. And we are not only willing to give up our wealth and health, we're willing to give up our lives for that. For someone to come and voluntarily, over an ego problem, or over just a basic, just willing to actually tear that fabric away, divide the ummah. It's very sad. It's very sad. Very sad because it just shows like you don't know what this is. We this is it. This is your group. You have to keep this together. Do not, if you can't keep it together, then don't participate in the division. And that's, I think, what he was teaching us, alayhi salatu wasalam, in this, or taught Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu at least. Yarwi al-Imam Ahmad fi musnadihi bi sanad sahih, an Abi Dharrin qala ركب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يوما حماره فأردفني خلفه وقال يا أبا ذر أرأيت إن أصاب الناس جوع شديد حتى لا تستطيع أن تقوم من فراشك إلى مسجدك ما تصنع؟ قلت الله ورسوله أعلم. فقال تعفف. ثم قال يا أبا ذر أرأيت إن أصاب الناس موت شديد حتى يصير فيه البيت بالعبد فما أنت صانع؟ قلت الله ورسوله أعلم. فقال اصبر. ثم قال يا أبا ذر أرأيت إن قتل الناس بعضهم بعضا حتى تغرق حجارة الزيت بالدماء ما أنت صانع؟ قلت الله ورسوله أعلم. فقال أغلق عليك بابك والزم بيتك. فقلت فإن لم أترك؟ قال فأتي من أنت منهم. فقلت أحمل السلاح معهم. فقال إذن تشاركهم فيما هم فيه ولكن اصبر. فإذا خفت أن يروعك شعاع السيف فألقي طرف ردائك على وجهك وليبؤ بإثمك وإثمه. صدق رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على محمد.